Welcome to the sixth episode of Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. I'm your host, Ednar, and I'm joined tonight by my two wonderful co-hosts. I got Coleman here with me. Coleman, how are you doing?
Oh, you know, pretty good.
How's your week been?
It's been very interesting. I decided to go ahead and get Gar Saxon of Gear 12 for whatever reason possessed me to do that. I don't know. But, yeah, now I'm not looking forward to this week coming up because I got Palpatine to do.
All right, I'm going to come back to the Gar Saxon thing in a bit, but I want to introduce our co-host tonight, Dave.
Tonight, yes.
Tonight. Dave, we have Dave. He was with us a couple weeks ago, so you may know him. Dave, how you doing?
I am good. I'm glad to be back.
So how has your week been in Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes?
It was gearing similarly. It was taking Raid Han to Gear 12, and he needs an obnoxious amount of gear to go from Gear 11 to Gear 12. And like it was, as you guys I'm sure like can empathize. You know, when you got a character to Gear 11, you just felt so relaxed. You're like, you're done. I'm not going to add this stupid gun he needs at Gear 11. It doesn't matter. I don't really need 600 health. Who cares? And now you had to go farm all those. So he needed like two guns and a cuff and three eyeballs and a bunch of the new raid pieces or the new gear pieces that they dropped. So it was tough. But now I have four of my five in Arena are Gear 12, and now I just got to work on Leia.
I mean, that's a rough problem to have.
Yeah, right.
I feel so sorry for you right now that you had to gear Raid Han up to 12.
He's good.
It's a rough life you live.
It's I don't know how. Someone's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it.
All right. So, Coleman, I want to go back to this. You are one of the few, if not only people right now, you're gearing up Darkseid.
Yeah.
Why?
It's dig one other zag, right?
Exactly. Look, I'm dark side. Even though light side is being overhauled and useful right now, I'm still this is a collection game. And what makes it fun for me is using dark side no matter what is just going through everything, dark side, dark side, dark side. I love the characters. I love their backstory, their history. So It makes the join the game a little bit more fun.
I mean, I guess it helps with your galactic power when you deploy. We'll go with that.
Hey, if I can beat if I can beat most of the territory battles, I'm fine.
All right.
You did fail the CLS mission today.
I did.
Oh,
I
did. God bless you, Dave, for telling me this.
Hey, I told you that earlier. Don't worry.
Oh, you did? All right. I failed it too, but because I was stupid. I thought it'd be way easier than I thought it would be, and
yeah,
no, nope,
I did the same thing.
That wasn't happening.
You don't have to bring like your A squad, but you have to bring decent characters because, you know, the mechanics of these of the troopers, like once they start that train moving, it's death time. Like if they start going and they buff each other and they give each other turn meter, and then a couple snow troopers do their AOEs, and your team's dead.
Oh, yeah, no, I used Gear 12 Luke, Commander Luke, and then a Gear 11 Raid Han, Gear 11 Chroot, and then, I can't remember, oh, Gear 12 R2. Wave 2, they took out two of those. I was like, well, shit, I'm done.
Yeah. It can be very RNG dependent, I think. It depends on, too, like, the makeup of the troopers that you get. If you get too many snow troopers, the snow troopers resist some stuns and they start moving, it goes south really, really quickly because they do obnoxious amounts of damage.
I actually got two elite droids.
And that's not too bad.
It wasn't too bad, but I couldn't stun them. And then I killed one before the other one went off, and the other one went off and put that expose on, and then AOE, then AOE, and then two of my guys were down before they could even go. It's like, well, this is just horrible RNG.
Yeah, I had, on the phase 6 where I had lost to, it was a normal snowtrooper commander elite snowtrooper, a regular snowtrooper, and 3 more elite snowtrooper ops.
Oof.
So once your health starts to drop, they insta kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing I could have done about it. I'm like, well, I'm screwed.
So
there's always next time, guys. So yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah, and next time you'll get completely different RNG, and you'll be like, well, This was way easier. So, I want to get on, before we start talking about more about territory battles, I want to get on the CLS, I don't know how to properly say this. I don't want to call it a complaint, but I don't want to call it praise at the same time. So, I guess I'll start with this. I'm in a firm belief Commander Luke Skywalker is great for the game. And horrible for the game. And, I mean, Coleman, me and you have talked about this. Commander Luke has kind of made it more so than any other character. You have to have him, otherwise you're just done. Agree?
Yeah, pretty much. And that's been my kind of worry ever since, you know, he came about. And it's like, okay, for all the younger players and all the people who haven't been playing this game since day one, they're going to miss out on Commander Luke. And who knows when this event's going to come back. For them, it's horrible because it makes it seem like, okay, in Arena, I can hit the top 300. Otherwise, everyone else has Commander Luke now. In the raid, you're not going to do any real damage because Commander Luke can just solo most of it.
Oh, and yeah.
So you can never really progress.
Yeah, no, you can't. Like, I mean, Dave, have you seen this in your dealings in the game? Like, Commander Luke has just taken over the game.
Yeah, I mean, and I was the first one on my shard to put him in, and it wasn't very long. I mean, most people on my shard, at least in the top 50 that you can see, have him. Almost everyone runs him as lead. A lot of people have him at gear 12. You know, there's still some Rex leads, but they dabble now more in the 30s. I mean, there's one guy running Thrawn. There's another guy that can finish top 10 with Rex because he's got great mods. But I think the thing with Luke that was obvious is that, you know, CG released him knowing it to do a couple things. One, they had to shake up the meta, and that hadn't really been shaken up in a while. You needed a new character to come in and, you know, give people someone else to focus on. I don't think they anticipated, though, because sometimes they do this. Like, they've slowly, not slowly, but they've obviously power creeped as time has gone along. Commander Luke is entirely too good. I mean, even as somebody that uses him and uses him in both raids and in Arena to great success, like, he's entirely too good. He's ruined people's lives in Galactic War now because he's pretty much, if you haven't broken your node 12, your last couple nodes are now disastrous. Even if you have, you're talking about you're seeing him in node 9 and node 11 gold gear with certainly probably a pretty decent rebel gold gear team around him. Like, he's impossible to deal with at times, and just way too, I would consider him overpowered, and I use him and I like him, but I understand why they released him, because they feel like they had to do something good with Luke. They had to make him really, really good. They obviously accomplished that, but, you know, is he too good? I kind of want to say now, after using him for what, he's been out for like a month now, I kind of want to say I think he is. Because he's a lot harder, I think, to deal with than some of the other characters that they released before that people said were quote unquote too good, like, you know, Nihilus and Thrawn. They both had too good thrown around, but they felt very easy to deal with, and Luke just is not.
No, not at all. Like, and to add to your point, so I, for those listeners who don't know, I actually have two accounts. I have my main account and I have a B account. On my main account, I have Commander Luke. I don't run him in Arena yet. I'm gearing up the rest of my team around him, and I run Resistance. So it's a crapshoot on my main account. On my B account, I do not have him. And I can't get him until the next account because I was completely free to play. As a complete free to play, I didn't have any chance at Old Ben or Luke Skywalker or like R2 even. Yeah. So I went in before Commander Luke. I was generally getting in the 20s to low 30s for Arena. And now, since I do not have Commander Luke, I can't even crack the top 70. So, if you are a player who does not have Commander Luke, you are essentially, you're screwed. Like, you're done in this game. You cannot compete in Rancor. Because you can put a boss Rancor team together, and somebody who comes up is like, well, I'm just going to run Commander Luke and solo the whole thing. Okay, well, you're going to do as good as me for one character, and I have to gear up 5. You know, you look at the heroic AAT, you can't compete with people if you don't have that, because, you know, Commander Luke and Raid Han can solo phase 1.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do. Like, every part of the game, if you do not have Commander Luke Skywalker, you are just, you're useless. And to me, that strikes me as, this is bad for the game. Great if you have him, bad for the game if you don't.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten this feeling around the game lately, ever since Commander Luke came out, like, things are not too good right now.
Like, my B account, honestly, and I'll flat out admit this, I'm 75% sure I'm just gonna stop playing on my B account because of that.
I mean, you're crazy for having 2 accounts anyway. Everybody that has 2.
Oh, yes.
This game takes so much time.
Yeah.
I think we would all agree of all of our times we spent. I mean, I've been playing almost since launch. Like, I'm scared to look at. If there was a total hours put into this game number, I would be very frightened to look at that. So, like, anyone that runs 2 accounts, like, power to you. I don't know how you do it. I can barely find the time to finish Galactic War every day on 1 account, let alone try to do it on 2. But I really think that CG, I want to think they did this on purpose, but we know that they've made, like, oopsies a lot before with characters and, like, maybe not really understanding how the meta was going to shift. And because you can't, you know, I understand they wanted to shake things up. Like, the Rex meta had been kind of old and tired and people just wanted a change. But, you know, I think as of right now, he's 62% of rank 1 leads are Luke. So not only has it flipped from what used to be somewhere around like 45-ish% were Rex, but like now it's even worse. And it's a character who's like leaps and bounds better than what Rex offered.
Yeah, and like looking at that, the number 2 team is like legitimately the only counter you have to him. And that's a Kenobi lead with Barriss.
Yeah, and that's like the most boring rate. That's like the most boring meta team of all time, where it's just like, "Hey, you can't kill me." But
so time out. There we go. You're gonna time out. Deal with it.
Yeah. It's those like Kenobi, Barriss, Thrawn, Nihilus, R2 teams. I'm like, oh god, this team is so boring, but it works. But that's what's had to, that's what people have had to do, right? Because it went back to a rebel damage meta where people are just running through teams with, you know, CLS and Solo and, you know, Thrawn and Leia and R2 and mixing all these characters, GK and Nihilus. You know, there's a mixture of the characters they use. You know, Chirrut and Baze are still around, and they just damage the hell out of people. And, you know, Barriss is a great counter to that, but she's such a boring counter to that. So it's, I know they wanted to shake up the meta, but I'm not really sure that this is the shakeup we all wanted, because there isn't a lot of diversity in Arena. And, you know, I think we all want there to be, because that's when the game's at its healthiest.
Yeah, I think that's what everyone, like, when everyone says meta change up, they are not looking for a new meta to totally dominate, like the Rex or the Commander Luke scenarios here. They're looking for more like, okay, you have Commander Luke, awesome. A couple people have that. A couple people run Darth Maul. A couple people run, like, I'm just going to throw Grand Moff Tarkin out there because I run him. We want to see different characters, different character leads, different character compositions in the top 20. It's like, oh, hey, look, all these different teams out there. I can make up a team like that and see how it goes.
Yeah, being able to just try different leads out and different compositions is fun. And right now, that's not the case. You're either running a CLS lead with, you know, either Rebels, or you're running it with, like, you know, the hodgepodge of the super meta characters like Nihilus and Thrawn and R2.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some people are mixing in GK and Barriss, and it's, you know, it does feel stale. And, like, granted, like, you know, I have a couple other people I work with at my payout, so, like, you know, I take, you know, first through third, you know, given on that depending on the day, but, like, it's working in my favor because I have the meta team and it works really, really well, and I have good mods. But for those, like, you're talking about, Ednar, with your alt, like, if you don't have that, it has to be beyond miserable right now. And you know, CG needs to think about what, when they introduce new characters going forward, like, I really think they need to think long and hard about, like, what the implications of that character is to coming in, because, you know, you want to try to avoid these, like, really stale metas, which, you know, this one is slowly starting to become. It was fun when he first launched, but even after a month now, I'm, like, ready for a change, and I think I'm sure other people are too.
It's like, I run my team basically just so it gives other people, like, my shard's old, but I run mine just because it's different, but I still use two of the meta breakers, and that's Thrawn and Nihilus, along with Kenobi, but then I use Tarkin Lee with Death Trooper.
Yeah.
But it's all mainly just because I want to show people, hey, just because you don't have CLS, like, I have a Gear 11 CLS, you know, whatever, but I choose not to use him just because I'm trying to prove to people, like, don't give up on whatever you're trying to make. Examine everything, look at the basics of how it works, and see what you can come up with to kind of counter what they do.
I mean, honestly, like, so I run on my second account, I run a Wiggs lead with Chirrut, Baze, and Thrawn, which is a good team. But when you can't even compete, it just makes it makes it brutal. It makes it not fun. It makes the game not fun to play.
Yeah, I'll agree.
And if you, like, the way the meta is right now, like, I'm looking at this right now, and, like you said, Dave, 62% of the leads, just the leads, a Commander Luke Skywalker. I don't even, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't even remember the Rex lead getting that high.
No, I don't know if it ever got to 50. It got, you know, close, and he's, I think, his total usage right now is on rank one teams is 81%. R2's actually higher. No one talks about R2 and how good he is sometimes. I mean, I think people do, but Luke has dominated the conversation. R2's relatively OP too at times, but the you know, Nihilus was up there for a very long time. He was on almost every team, but he always felt controllable. You were never really scared of him. Like, you knew it was a countdown, like, all right, he's going to kill somebody if I don't handle him. But, you know, with Luke, it's just like, you can try to do whatever you want because you can't stun the jerk, and he's going to counter, and he's going to kill somebody, and then he's really fast, and he has a great leadership ability. Oh, and he's unique is awesome and gives Termeter to everybody every time he goes. Like, it's just, it's crazy when you really add it all together and how good he is. And, you know, it's going to take crazy, ridiculous OP characters to knock him out of the meta, because those Rebel reworks were so good that now you have teams that just work really, really, really well. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. And I'm sure you guys saw that video of the Akbar Hermit Yoda CLS team, which looks obnoxious to deal with. So I hope that no one farms Hermit Yoda ever, because I really don't feel like facing that team.
I know people in my shirt are gonna try to pull it off, but I think I've already kind of dissected that team a little bit. So
yeah. So for those of you who aren't aware, there was this thing on Reddit from one of the game changers who gets the preview videos, who gets to work on this stuff. It was an Akbar lead with Kenobi, Thrawn, D-Bag, Commander Luke Skywalker, who I hate, and Hermit Yoda. And it was unstoppable. Like, it was just so annoying. It's one of those teams that when you purposely avoid, and if you do end up going against them, it's the most annoying thing in the world. Now, Coleman, you said you dissected this. What did you see?
A little bit. I'm still looking at it. But it looks like a lot of the team is kind of centered around Hermit Yoda, which in that Admiral Akbar, he only grants his speed, that plus 25 speed, plus 10% tenacity, to Commander Luke on that team. And the team composition is Admiral Akbar, Hermit Yoda, Commander Luke, Thrawn, and General Kenobi. So the only two real rebels in there are Admiral Akbar and Commander Luke. If you can take Yoda out of the first three or four turns, well, there goes all your double, triple attacking, and Luke's not, and you can handle Luke. Luke's pretty easy to deal with as long as you just watch him. Especially once he turns on attack mode, he's vulnerable to stuff like Daze.
Yeah.
Which stops all that.
Yeah. I think the big thing with that team is I don't know how it would perform on AI, right? Because the important thing, why that works is because of the Akbar's leadership that any time a rebel uses, or any time an ally uses a move that isn't an attack, it calls a rebel to assist. So, like, if you look at that team, obviously every time Hermit Yoda goes, that means someone's going to be called to attack. Kenobi has a move where it's not a attack. Akbar has two moves when it's not an attack. Luke has one when it's not an attack. So it makes sense.
Thrawn has one.
That's not an attack. So that's a lot. But for AI, you know, when you're playing it as a player, you have to have the target on someone when you do that, and that's who it will attack. I don't know how AI works under those situations when they're doing those moves, like if it's smart enough to move it to the right person to attack. We all know AI kind of generally sucks in this game, which is why Commander Luke's leadership abilities work so well, because counters are like AI proof. But for this, I think it could probably break down on defense, but on offense it does look like easy mode, because it basically just can make Luke Skywalker go all the time. And we all know he's very good, and that's probably not a bad thing. And since he gives out debuffs, he's giving, you know, Akbar turn meter and letting Akbar go more. And he's also giving himself turn meter, which makes him go more. And he's also debuffing and stunning the hell out of people and killing people rather quickly. So I see why it works. It looks like it's fun, but Hermit Yoda's like 4 light years away from anyone really having him. I don't expect anyone to have him on my shard anytime soon, so I'm not expecting to have to face this team. Certainly, you know, maybe in year 3 playing this game, that'll be a team that's decent. By then we'll have like another, you know, 5 tunes that are better than Commander Luke, so it won't matter anymore.
Yeah, I think they said if you average 35 or 36 stars a week, which is, I mean, honestly, you two are in like a top 20, top 25 guild right now. Yes. In Rebel Force. And what do you guys get a week? Like, what did you guys get last week for stars?
41.
41. Yeah. So 35, 36 is good. Still very high. Good. It's real high. Like, I was in a top 100, and I don't think we got 35. Maybe we got 36? But
and I think you guys got 36, and you got a full piece for raid rewards. So
yeah, we did. But like, if you average 35 or 36, it will take you 14 weeks just to unlock Hermit Yoda. Like, that's seems worse than Kenobi.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's definitely worse than Kenobi. It's definitely worse than Kenobi because you're forced to make a choice with Hermit Yoda that you weren't forced to make with Kenobi. You were getting charged with Kenobi every time you did an HAT, and you were doing at least two a week, three if the days fell right. And with Yoda, if you want to farm him, you have to make a conscious choice that you're not going to add any of the Gear 12 gear outside of what you're going to get from the rewards, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later, which are somewhat underwhelming to me. But if outside of the salvage that you get, you have your currency, you're going to have to put most of that into Hermit Yoda to get him in any type of like speed. And you're not going to be able to, farm Gear 12 gear with that. And that Gear 12 gear is really good. So it's either take your current tunes and make them better, or go get this guy who we're not really entirely sure how great he is yet. And, certainly we're going to see some of these videos from the dev accounts that the Game Changers can put out. But we're not going to have any actual players with him for another couple of – at least another month plus, maybe, 2 months-ish probably.
And that's not – you can't get him to Gear 12 until C7 star. That's going to be a long time.
Yeah, and then Gear 12 is going to be what's pretty much only viable in Arena within another couple of weeks. You're considering the protection buff, and then people start putting their gold gear on characters. You're going to need to have Gear 12 characters to sit in the top 20, 30 in Arena. So it's it's interesting to see. I'm curious to see like how he works. Will he make Jedis better? This crazy Akbar team. Like, what will Hermit Yoda be able to do? But nobody's gonna have him, and that's like one of the things that is really kind of frustrating. Is you have this character who you have to make a really difficult choice to farm him, and to be honest, it's probably the wrong choice because you really should be adding this really valuable gear to your characters at Gear 12.
Yeah, especially your Arena characters.
Yeah.
Now, before we started this up, before we started recording the podcast, was that earlier today, CG Kazaspoon put out a post saying the next territory battle will return next week with changes to the reward system and functionality.
I think this is... The rewards for the amount of work you put in needed to be upped. And I hope that's it. Now, functionality, I don't know what they mean by that.
It could possibly switch over to dark side.
No.
No. It's not going to switch over to dark side. It's not going to switch over to dark side, silly.
Come on.
Yeah. Wait,
who would look like a genius if that happened?
Not you.
Somebody.
So does this mean they're going to bring Hondo? I'm going to take this as Hondo's coming to the game next week.
It means you're going to need everyone
immediately.
Everyone's going to need a 12 Gar Saxon.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah! Gear up those dark side characters to beat the light side battles. I mean, it's the way to go.
It also means possibly we get a choice of light side Hermit Yoda or dark side Yoda.
There is no dark side Yoda.
No.
I am anytime they go to make changes, I get scared.
No.
I know.
Even if the thing that they're changing is something that I want them to change, I don't trust them to change it in the way that I want them to. So I don't. I don't know what this could be. Like, functionality is a really broad term. Like, rewards make sense, all right? They're going to do something with rewards. Maybe they'll buff them a little bit. They'll tweak them a little bit. I think they did that with the original Rancor, actually, if I remember correctly, which people were upset with the rewards, and they changed them slightly a couple, Rancor raids into it, or a couple weeks into it. And maybe they'll do that again and, give people a couple more pieces of salvage or a higher chance to get a full piece or up the currency or whatever it is. But that, okay, makes sense. But functionality is so broad, and like, that scares the hell out of me because it probably is something we're not going to like. Could it be them going back to, I mean, at some point they mentioned going to 12 hours. Do you think that that could be what it is?
No.
Are they make that change so soon, or did they say they're going to keep it at 24
for longer? I honestly think the 12-hour thing is dead. Because, I mean, honestly, like, and so I just started taking over being a general in my guild for, like, organizing everything. If we went back to the 12-hour, or we went to the 12-hour they originally said, we would lose probably, I don't know, 5-6 stars. Just from people like, hey, I have work. I can't do this twice a day. You're like, if I do 24 hours, that's fine. If I have to do it twice a day, no, I can't do that. Every guild in the game will suffer horribly if they go back to 12 hours or go to 12 hours.
Yeah. Now I like the fact that they actually start later now instead of like right at 6 a.m. Eastern time or whatever your guild leader is.
Yeah, I think it was 9. It started at 9 a.m.
Yeah. For me, it started at 4 a.m.
Well, you're in Hawaii. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel no worries.
It's beautiful there, and you can just walk outside and like, oh, fucking me, I'm on the beach.
Yeah, you're never allowed to complain about time change because you're like, hey, I'm in Hawaii, and I'm playing Star Wars.
I live in the New Jersey suburbs, so I'm not going to really listen to someone in Hawaii complain about time
change. Yeah, I'm in Wisconsin. How do you feel about 4 feet of snow?
That's why I'm out here.
So, no, I think I honestly think one of the things they might change with the functionality is more guild leader. Oh, well, all right, this is wishful thinking, but I think it's going to be more guild leader controllability. Because there have been massive calls for either closing out a territory or, you know, it's anything of that nature to help the generals or the people controlling this control their guilds better, so you don't have to worry about people that, you know, aren't on Discord or don't check Discord or are just too antsy to be like, it's 12 o'clock, it's 12:02, this started at 12 o'clock, I have to deploy everything in the next 2 minutes. I think it might have something to do with that.
That would be smart. I mean, certainly would be helpful because they don't have... They've kind of already like built a really crappy way to communicate in-game, right? So they're basically... They know people use Discord and Line and other communication... you know, other communication avenues for their guilds, but... You know, that isn't even enough for this. I agree with you. I hope that would actually be brilliant on their part if they did that and finally listened to some of the community feedback and were able to implement something like that quickly would be great because it would be nice for someone to be able to say, all right, I want us to put all of our, you know, effort into the, you know, the bottom section. I'm going to close out the middle one or pause the middle one. No one's going to be able to do, you know, deployments there or whatever.
For a perfect example, for today, my guild, we have literally just enough galactic power to 1 star the bottom, the south, and 2 star the north. But I literally need every single person to be, once we hit 1 star in the bottom, to do everything in the north and 0 in the south. If we don't do that, we can't 2 star the north. Like, how nice would it be for me to just close off the south and be like, all right, do whatever you want. Like, you can only do it here. Do whatever you want. Go to town. Like, I would kill to have something like that.
Yeah. It would be smart. I mean, it would be very smart for them to do that. I hope that they do. I think because you know, they wanted this to be this like full on guilds work together type of thing, and if a guild's working together, then it really shouldn't matter if you close out something, because you're not, you're the only people that would complain are people that don't communicate and wanted to go in and do that, and those aren't, that's not really what this mode's built for. So yeah,
it's really not. And the other thing that, all right, so I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna bring this up now, is platoons. Platoons are probably the most frustrating thing as someone who gives out the orders for territory battles. Platoons are probably the worst thing in this, like, worst new thing they introduced. Because everyone thinks that they have to donate to the platoons no matter what. Because they're like, oh, this will help me in the next phase. Well, no, it doesn't. But when you can't complete the platoons without having impossible characters to farm. Like, we needed, for instance, perfect example, we needed 17 six-star Lobots today.
17?
Yep, 99% of guilds will not have that. And will never have that.
You got lobotomized.
We did. Like, Lobot, Pow, and, oh God, it's really those two have just destroyed us. Like, we couldn't get over 2 of 6 yesterday because of Pow and Lobot.
Yeah, the randomness of that seems to be too much to me.
Now, I mean, the Ewoks kind of hurt us a little bit today.
Now, did you see somebody asked on the official forums what, like, asked about, like, the non-free-to-play characters, Ewoks, TIE Reaper, Falcon? Did you see their response?
Pretty much. I did see their response, yeah.
So, all right. For those not on Reddit, somebody asked, he's like, looking for a dev response about whether or not free-to-play characters, so the new Ewoks, TIE Reaper, Falcon, are required to be in platoons again, or if this issue was fixed. And CG actually responded and was like, this is not a bug, recruit players to your guild that have these characters.
Yeah.
Like,
which, honestly, I love that response.
Like, I want to know how many people have 7-star Millennium Falcons that I can go out and be like, hey, come join my guild.
I don't have it.
I think there's even TI, like Team Instinct guys that on principle didn't want, because they didn't like the way those ships packs were implemented, that were like, no, I don't have that. So it's, yeah, I mean, they probably have enough to do a couple. That's a shocking, not a shockingly bad response, but, you know, they wanted to be a little bit more forthright, I think, with the community than they maybe had been in the past, but I don't really think that's what the community wanted. Like, they don't want you to be a jerk. It's not easy for guilds to go and recruit players that have those types of characters, because those players are likely in guilds already.
Those guilds that they're in, they're pretty high up there.
Yeah, and they're not going to leave those guilds. So, you know, there's not just random players out there floating around in, you know, lower-level guilds that have 7-star Millennium Falcons and have all the Ewoks at 7 stars. Like, that's just not... that's not the case. So you can recruit all you want, but what are you going to throw up a post on Reddit that no one's going to read? Like, as someone who used to recruit for the guild, like literally messaging people on forums and on Reddit to try to get people to join, it's not easy and it's really hard. And that was just for anybody. Like, I would literally, if you could breathe and you had and you were playing the game, you were welcome. So, like, if the requirements are, hey, do you have a 7-star Paploo? Like, no one's going to be able to answer that, and anyone that can is not joining your guild. So,
unless you can prove to them that your guild's better than what they're in.
Absolutely, which, like, very few are going to be able to. So, yeah, they knew that. That was a really bad response. I'm sure they recognize that. And they do need to do something, I think, about the platoons. Like, and we'll be nice, and like, maybe this is too much to ask, and maybe it's not fair for the overall player base, or maybe some people would complain, but it would be cool if it scaled a bit based on your guild's level. Like, you know, give people a fighting chance, because even with that buff, sometimes you're still going to get wiped out in wave 5 or 6 anyway if you don't have good enough characters. So, like, give people an opportunity to maybe get a couple more stars or whatever, but and have that stuff scale based on the guild's level and overall GP, and just kind of go that route. Might be something that's nice to give a little bit of, you know, throw a bone to some of the lower level guilds that are just not going to have these characters that you're asking them to put into platoon, to get something that is really, really valuable, especially in the Phoenix missions and the Roadwalk missions, when a lot of people are going in with undergeared tunes that you know are going to maybe tweak by. You need those buffs, and you need to be able to shut down the AT-ATs, and if you can't do that through your platoons, you're screwed.
Yep. Yeah. Now, today's also a pretty good example, is that, you know, I saw one of our platoons, it was Princess Leia, Hera, and Ezra in there, and it's like, okay, I don't mind giving you my Princess Leia for the platoon, because she's more of a liability in my eyes now with those scout droids. But Hera and Ezra in the Phoenix Squad phase? No one wants to give that up.
Because, well, especially those, like, Hera. The team doesn't work with her.
Hera, no, the team falls apart without Hera. And then Ezra is like your main damage dealer, so it's like, well, what do I do now? Chopper?
Mm-hmm. No, it's... The platoons are what's really holding guilds back. Because everyone wants to complete it to make the next phase easier, but they're hindering their teams to complete the platoons. Like, our guild specifically, it's like, I send out these orders every day. And I'm like, hey, you deploy this character here, here, and here. Nothing else. And everyone's like, well, I want to help out whenever I can for platoons. Be like, no, we don't need you to do that because we're not going to complete it. Like, the amount of useless characters, and I know they'll say, well, farm them. Well, that's easier said than done. Like, yeah. Any non-top 200 guild, this mode is a guild killer. This will kill your guild. Because any person in your guild who gets, let's say, that 7-star Ewok, or, you know, the 6-star TIE Reaper or Millennium Falcon, if you're not in a top 200 guild, they're going to leave you and get swooped up by a top 200 guild in a heartbeat. Like, you're going to lose your characters. Like, this is built around you building up your like, the characters in your guild to lose them to bigger guilds. And it's just the way this game is. And I love territory battles. I love it. It adds a whole different aspect to the game.
Oh, I love it too.
I can see so many downfalls to this new mode.
Like, this to me is absolute, like, you've been playing since day one right now. This is endgame.
It is endgame for, like, me. I mean, I've only been playing the game a year and a half. You guys have been playing it longer. If I started 6 months ago, this game mode would make me quit.
It would be overwhelming. I mean, you know, I'll offer a slight counter to you guys liking territory battles. I don't really like them that much. I think I really think CG did a great job with the mode. I think it is engaging. The mechanics of it are interesting. I'll be honest, and this might be like an unpopular opinion, I don't think it's hard enough. I didn't expect my resistance team, which, you know, obviously is good.
Whoa. We're not going to bag on resistance because they're the greatest thing in the game.
No. They are. No. Resistance is awesome. What I'm saying is I have yet to not 6 of 6 a battle with them, and that's all the way through phase 6.
Yep.
And this is just the Gear 11 tunes that are good. I mod them to do Galactic War. Like, I don't use them in Arena, you know, so I have them decently modded, but they're not crazily modded. They're modded decently for you know, to do phase 2 in the HAT when I get a chance to do a run there. But, you know, I'm not doing anything crazy. So, like, they've dominated these things, and they're not, you know, I haven't upgraded them at all since the way that they were 2 months ago. So I think I expected the difficulty to be a little bit more ramped up, which I don't know if that's going to come later, or maybe there's a second iteration of Terra Pillar Battles when it gets a little bit harder. But, you know,
kind of like heroic version.
I maybe, but outside of, like, obviously the platoons are difficult because if you don't have those characters, you don't have those characters, and that's frustrating. There's nothing you can do about that unless you're going to go spend, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars. But if you outside of the Phoenix team, which I, you know, admittingly need to work on gearing, and Rogue One, which I have to work on too, like, I can 6 of 6 every node. So
yeah, I can 6 of 6 whoever I just throw Phoenix into.
Yeah, so it's like, is that... I expected that not to be the case, right? And, you know, that I even if I went in with my really good, you know, geared Gear 11, now Gear 12 tunes, that I still might lose. And outside of Phoenix and Rogue One, where I'm going in with Undergear tunes, I don't. And sure, there's probably an RNG disaster out there that would happen. It's happened to some people in our guild where they've lost and just were like, I don't know what happened, but the snowtroopers just destroyed me. Like, that could happen, but I feel like it shouldn't just be RNG that makes me lose. And I don't know. I expect it to be harder. Yeah. I expect it to be a little bit more to work, you know, to have to continue to work my characters, you know, progress my characters. And that's not what it is, so... You know, maybe it'll get there, but then again, since we get the rewards aren't that wonderful, it's going to take so long to add gear to your Gear 12 tunes anyway. If it was super hard, it would probably be months before we'd be good enough to beat it. So, you know,
yeah.
Maybe it's a case of be careful what you wish for, Dave.
Yeah. Now, one thing, continuing on what you're saying, is like, my point of view is like, okay, so the Imperials won the Battle of Hoth. They ran the Rebels off the planet, you know, the shield generator is gone. And they just got mauled. The Rebels got mauled by the Empire. Well, in this scenario, they have the Rebels winning. And I feel like if they're going to do that, ramp up the difficulty to where how the Rebels would have won against what the Empire actually threw out there. Instead of just this.
It should. I agree with you. It should be harder, and it's not. And I want it to be, even though that would be difficult. I kind of want it to be harder, but...
Yeah, know. It's like, I've been complaining for a while now, ever since I broke my 11 and 12 nodes in Galactic War. Like, I want Galactic War to be hard again. Like, I'm tired of this. It's boring. I look forward to Galactic War, because it's something I can take and improve myself on. This mode, Territory Battle mode, okay, I can improve myself on my Rebels and Light side, but I don't really need to. It's... You can beat it all with exception to RNG.
Yeah. Yeah, I will preface this for those listening that you and I, Coleman, and Ednar too. I mean, you've got a very good roster. Like, we aren't the typical player,
no.
So it's. No. I don't want to sound like a jerk in saying that this is for those people out there that are like struggling with territory battles, and this is really really hard content. And they're like, I don't know what we're gonna do. We need to recruit better players. Like. I don't want to be like that jerk that's just like, oh man, this is so easy. I hit auto. Like, I don't hit auto. It is still, you know, you still have to manually do these battles. Like, if you hit auto, you would die. But it's, you know, so I don't want to sound like that. But I you know, to your point, Ednar, in that this was, you know, end game content, for me, it doesn't feel that way. And I wanted it to. When the AJAT came out, I was wow, this is really hard. Even though we beat it as a guild, like, I didn't do a great amount of damage, and I wanted to get better. And I feel like my improvements there over time gave me a ton of options to get better at the HAT, and I don't have that right now with Territory Battles, and I want it.
And really, it's almost taken, what, 8 to 10 months before we really had... We really found these squads that are able to do all this damage to the hat raid.
I mean, with the Zetas, you had it, but you had to farm those characters and then put the Zetas on it. So it was a couple months before people started doing like the crazy 9-10 million damage. Yeah.
Yeah, but even then, like, Finn wasn't everyone's first pick to go off and grab for phase four because it's Finn. Who was going to put a Zeta on Finn for the first time instead of you have Zader over here who's much more appealing. Or, you know, Darth Maul, who had his Zeta and his fun in the sun.
He was my second Zeta.
Yeah, he was my first. He was my first Zeta.
And then you went dark side, so you...
Then I went Darth Vader, and then just kept growing and growing and growing.
I mean, I get what you mean about endgame content, but, like, this is what is going to be the future for Star Wars Galaxy Heroes, unless they completely scrap it. Like, we have to get used to this for a while, because I don't think they're going to introduce another raid. Like, another raid will just add to the chaos that is trying to organize a guild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, like, we'll this is it for us. The next thing they do will be to probably add a dark side territory battle.
Oh, they have to now.
But if they introduce a dark side, they have to get rid of this light side. Like, have to. You can't, as a leader, a guild leader, you cannot run two of these a week.
No. It is hard enough to run one right now from what I've seen.
Okay. This is a whole different subject, which I guarantee we're going to get on at some point. But the amount of time and energy to try and organize this is insane. Like, I just took over being in charge of our guild for this.
Yes, it was yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And, you know, I've done a good job with all the spreadsheets and all that stuff that's out there. But the amount of time you have to put in is insane. Like, I put more time in organizing the territory battles than I do actually playing the game. And that's not right.
That's a lot.
Like, I mean, when you have to analyze a spreadsheet and put in all the information up to date of what you have, and then formulate a plan every few hours based on that. This is not a game. It's a chore.
Yeah. Maybe that's part of what they'll try to address with the changes next week, is to maybe there's some simple fixes. I'm not smart enough to figure out what those are, but maybe there's some fixes that they've thought of that can help make the burden, you know, a little bit less on those guild leaders out there that are trying to organize this. You know, even for, like honestly, yeah, unless you have, like, completely 100%, everyone's got these crazy built rosters, and it's just, all right, we can go in and beat our combat missions and then just deploy our, you know, gross amount of GP that we have. Like, you need some focus, and it is a lot because it's spread across 6 days. They're doing them relatively quickly. You know, if it's not every single week, it's going to be, you know, maybe only a few days in between each one. And, you know, that's on top of managing the other stuff you got to manage as a guild leader or an officer and the other raids that are still going on in the background and making sure people get their tickets. And it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Probably too much.
Now, with this dark side possible territory battle, I do hope they do it, but this is kind of the way I wanted to do it, is that when it's time for the dark side territory battle, you get 1 or 2 weeks of that as it opens, but as time progresses, you know, close down the Hoth one, you can only do dark side, or in the next week, close down the dark side one, open up the light side one. That way there, you can only have one or the other going.
Yeah. Like, you can open one or the other, but not both.
Yeah. Like, you can pick one a week, and you take your pick.
Oh, you, like, pick the... Oh, so you pick the one you would do? Yeah, that would be nice, so you don't have to try to do... You don't have to try to do both, and you can just maybe focus what your guild's best at.
Yeah, and based on that, I mean, there's... In our guild, there's quite a bit of dark side people, too, but a lot more light side. At the same time, people can build around these different battles, especially if and whenever that dark side territory battle does come out. The Hoth one's pretty much going to be under lock and key, hopefully. It's like, okay, we've got everything from it we need. What's the next thing?
Yeah.
Now, I will say this to counter-argument you, Coleman, because it's what I do. the Zetas for light side, for at least for territory battles, in my mind, are more beneficial than dark side. And the reason I say that is for specific characters. You look at Qui-Gon Jinn, a Jedi team. His Zeta, invaluable. Cody for the clone team. Commander Luke Skywalker. Any R2-D2 Zeta. Like, those Zetas will benefit a light side team way more than, let's say, a Savage Press Zeta. Like, the dark side Zetas are more individual. The light side is more group Zetas.
For the most part, but there's also a lot in there. Like, say, the Trooper Zeta, where you have Veers and you're gaining protection back, turn meter, everything else. You've got Darth Maul, who's pretty much the same, identical to Qui-Gon, where you're dodging everything, foresight or stealth, whichever one you choose to be. And then R2 doesn't have a droid dark side counterpart yet, but you know he's gonna be in there pretty soon.
Yeah, I think there's a dark side droid they're gonna introduce with the new movie.
Well, I was gonna say that's gonna be the counter whenever they release BB-8, but I'm saying, since Battlefront 2's coming out, there's an ID-10 droid in there who looks pretty much... He looks like he can do the same stuff R2 does.
You know who could counter all of this? Hondo.
That's true.
Hondo?
See, I have a very odd feeling that bounty hunters are going to be able to counter CLS for some reason.
Hondo can counter everyone. I mean, Vader? Hondo can counter it. You know, Qui-Gon Jinn, let's get Hondo. He can counter everything. He's just that good. Him and Ugnaught as a team. Unstoppable.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
So I'm going to stick with that. But, all right, one thing I wanted to ask both of you, because you two get a lot more practice and a lot more theory crafting than I honestly do for territory battles. And then Coleman, we'll start with you before we go to you, Dave. When you're doing the missions, what's your kill order? Because that's the number one question I'm asked in Guild is, who do I kill first?
Honestly, it all depends on what kind of RNG you got. Like, if I see any elite snowtrooper ops, that's my first target, is him. Because once they start peeling off all my protection and everything away, and it's generally in the later phase you start seeing these elites, which most of my protection's kind of peeled off, and that's going to be like two or three hits before I'm 70% health. And once that ops is stealthed, it's an insta-kill.
Yeah, really is. So take out... All right. I'll just throw this out. Take out any elite status. So there's no elites. What would be your kill order if there was no elites?
I'm taking out that droid first.
Droid first? Who would be after that?
Probably Snowtrooper.
Snowtrooper? Okay.
Yeah.
I guess, and then on the opposite end of this, is who's the last character to take out?
It's kind of weird. I think probably, I would say Stormtrooper, but he's you're kind of forced to kill him off. Who is it? AT-ST driver.
Okay. Now, Dave, what do you say about all this? What would be your kill order for non-elites?
Well, I mean, so I think you can... The Stormtrooper Commander, TIE Fighter Pilot, AT-ST drivers, like, if you're getting those on the waves, you're in pretty decent... you're in pretty decent shape. I think it's the Snowtrooper Commander, the Snowtrooper Ops, and the Snowtrooper are all really, really good, especially when they're elite. Honestly, I think you can do kill order. I try to take in teams that can control the battle, and I do it more based on take out elites, make sure you're stunning characters that have turn meter. You know, try to reduce turn meter where you can. You know, obviously you have to worry about the Snowtrooper when they're elite, because they counter a lot and they do a ton of damage. But if you're really just gonna focus on non-elites, kill the droids first, kill the Snowtroopers if you can, and then worry about, or the Snowtrooper, Snowtrooper Ops, and then I leave the commanders for last. But once you start to mix in the elites, you need to, that all that goes out the window, and you have to really worry about stunning the elites as best you can, reducing their turn meter where you can, and then being very careful with I think it's the Snowtrooper commander, in that once he drops below full health, the healthiest ally taunts. So you have to just be really careful about turn meter and the health on these characters, because you know, you want to kill the Snowtrooper Commander because he's the one that does, like, the least damage. But the second you do that, someone's going to taunt, and if you don't have a dispel and you don't have the DPS to burn down the taunter, things can fall apart, especially in the 5th and 6th wave. So it's really cool to dig into the mechanics, but even at that point, most of the time, really, at least in the first 5 phases and some of the 6th, you can just almost zerg through it if you've got it good enough characters and enough damage. So it's
So basically, if you have resistance.
If you have resistance, the other team doesn't move at all, and that really is helpful. So
yep.
It's, you know, assuming you have decent potency on them, I mean, resistance is just so good. I keep trying to make this point to people that they are just in every aspect of this game, they are the absolute... Finn's Zeta is life-changing for anybody that does that.
Coleman, you hearing this?
I have First Order geared up, don't worry.
No. First Order is just destroyed by Resistance. So are you listening to the Resistance talk and how it's so much better than anything you have?
I have a... level 85 Poe, 8 Ray, Finn, 71 Resistance Pilot, 70 Trooper.
Oh, you're gonna get that. You're gonna have to get that Pilot and Trooper. It's just like, for any new player, you know, Resistance is one of the smarter investments in the game because they are good at literally every single mode. I mean, I guess maybe not the Rancor, but certainly, but they can do really good damage in the Rancor. So
yeah,
like,
they just can't solo.
They just can't solo it. But I mean, like, if you, you know, you can do a ton of damage. You can solo phase 4 with R2 instead of pilot, I think. And then I think you might have to Zeta Ray to do that. But still, you can solo phase 4 with them. You can do, like, you know, 6 to 8 million with really nice modded resistance in phase 2. And they own territory battles. I mean, they're easy mode for territory battles. And you probably don't need to make gear 11 because technically, if the other team doesn't move, it doesn't matter what gear they're at.
Yep. You really... I will argue this with anyone that Finn's Zeta is the best Zeta to do in the game. Because they make all PvE content almost trivial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so what you're saying here is wait for the Xehanort Emperor Palpatine and just sit on Zetus right now. Got it.
Okay.
Yeah. That Palp Zeta is coming at some point, and I'm really
excited. Yeah, you know
I mean, it probably will be, but the thing is, he still loses in the end. Once a loser, always a loser.
Uh-oh. He's definitely, I mean, here's the thing. He's definitely getting two Zetas, right? He's getting
yes.
one.
He's going to get at least two.
He's getting one for his leader. He's getting one for his unique. It's going to happen at some point. I don't know when, but I am sure there are going to be. Maybe that's the thing, right? Maybe it's one of those dark side characters that we know is really, really good that hasn't gotten a Zeta yet that will be the one that shakes up the meta. And who knows? Maybe it's coming sooner than we expect. Maybe some of the stuff will happen as the new movie comes out. But yeah, Palp will get a Zeta. I'm sure it will be ridiculously good. And I have a Gear 11 Palp, and I will be ready to give him that Zeta.
I will have a Gear 12 Palp by next podcast. So,
ew.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, once they put Zetas on Phoenix, I honestly think Phoenix will be dominant in this game. But they have to put Zetas on them.
They do.
Yeah.
Once they do that, they're going to be unstoppable.
Yeah. Zetas are nice for when they introduce characters. It's like CG gave themselves their like own little out clause for new characters in that they can introduce a character. Maybe they think the character's good. Maybe in their playtesting they thought it was nice. And then it gets into like actual implementation and people start to theory craft and they build and they realize that character's not that great. And then they have just Zetas where they can be like, all right, well, this character didn't work, so let's just completely give him or her an ability that they didn't have before in a Zeta and make them good now.
Raid Han.
With, you know, yeah. Like they do with characters like, you know, Raid Han or Finn, where it just completely reworked them, and now they're top 10, you know, top 15 characters, and you know, it's nice that they can do that from a game design standpoint. You would like the characters to be good the second they introduce them, but you know, I understand that those ones work, and Zetas are a nice little out clause for them, where they can go back and fix them, and then make you use a currency, which is almost impossible to get because the drop rate for Zetas is less than ideal, but.
Yeah. Now, whatever. When Palpatine was introduced, he dominated things for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's also the only legendary event character who doesn't have a Zeta.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't realize that, but, I mean, he was one of the, outside of Commander Luke, and heck, even R2, so of the old legendaries, he was the one that came out and was like, yeah, you're just dominant from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was this game, in my opinion, he was this game's really first true reward. Like, if you had the right characters and you got him, you felt like, you know what? I did something. I got Palp now. And then he was in everybody's arena team for months. So, he really was, because, like, Yoda really didn't make that big of a difference when he was first introduced, and Raid Han from the Rancor, you know, really didn't make that big of a difference when he was first introduced. Some people used him to like combat the droid meta at the time, which, you know, was very good when Jawl Engineer came out. But, you know, I think, you know, Palp was the first reward. And listen, you know, and Coleman will be excited when this happens. Palp's gonna make a comeback. They're going to give him a Zeta. We just don't know when it's going to be, but it's coming at some point. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, so I guess I'm going to get before, because we've gone on a long time this episode, which is fine. It's just I want to start closing it up, and I want to ask you each one question. And Coleman, I'll give you a break. I'll ask Dave first. Okay. Dave, what is the one takeaway you've gotten from Territory Battles in the past week? After you've gone through a week of it, what's the takeaway that you've gotten from it?
I would say the one key like thing I've learned or advice I'd give. So just
advice.
Like,
advice
that I would give. So I'd say the biggest piece of advice that I would give, honestly, and I know we just talked about this, but it would be to you need two things to do well in territory battles. You need Commander Luke, and you need Zeta Finn. And if you are a newer player who is, you know, in the teens with stars and like, how do I get my roster to be able to compete in territory battles? You know, if you have a resistance team, you can use them in one of the light side combat missions and they will dominate through the entire thing as long as you have them, you know, decently geared and decently modded. And then you have to make sure you get CLS. If you don't have CLS now, you spent a lot of the episode earlier talking about him. If you don't have him, you're going to have to get him because he's another perfect lead for territory battles. You know, they did that on purpose and he's great. So like those two characters and then obviously the factions around them, but they're so key to being able to make sure that you can beat combat missions because you get a ton of points from combat missions and they help overcome, you know, lower GPs if you can 6 of 6 them. So, you know, my, you know, best advice to any, you know, newer player or a player who doesn't have like a well-defined roster would be to focus on those guys and they'll really help in the long run. And obviously in other modes too, but for territory battles, they're super key.
Okay. Now, Coleman, what would be your biggest suggestion?
My biggest suggestion, one thing that's kind of really helped me out along the way is that before all this started, you know, there were little drips and drops of this happening. So what I did was I geared Phoenix Squad. Like, even after the Thrawn event came around, I still continued gearing them. And they carry me through at least one combat mission per phase. I get 6 of 6 out of every time with them. And that for the younger players, it's easier to go out and grab this Phoenix team, and they're going to be a lot. They have a few more. They have at least one more use than the Resistance. Resistance is still very, very good, but as kind of a younger player, you see these Phoenix squads, and they're a little bit more appealing than Resistance. They're a tad bit easier to get, just because of the fact you've got a guild shop farm, you know, Resistance trooper and Resistance pilot. Everyone else. I think, where's Finn? I forgot where Finn was. It's been so long. Is he in? Yeah, he's got a cantina, though, I think.
Yeah, so he's a cantina.
Cantina.
Yeah, it's just been so long. But, yeah, if you're looking for a quick way, you know, you unlock Thrawn, you can do decent damage in raids, and at least my Phoenix squad carries me throughout the combat mission. So, you know, they've got their uses, both teams, in that in PvE, you know, Resistance just dominates. But if you're looking for that, I guess, easier team to do, and if you're looking for Thrawn as well to help out in Arena, that'd be my advice.
So it's not getting Garsecs into gear 12. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know why I did that. It was just on impulse, like, okay, he's got I run a 7-star gauntlet and fleet arena, so let me try Gar Saxon with his gear 12 does to his ship, and it's just experimenting right now. It's fun.
All right. So
I think I told somebody, I can't remember who though, in our guild, I showed him I also have a gear 12 TIE fighter pilot.
Sure. We'll go with yes.
The only lights on I have gear 12 is General Kenobi. That's the obvious one.
I just don't even get... No.
Hey, look, okay, just for you, I'm doing Emperor Palpatine next, but after...
That
after.
Just for me? Just you for shouldn't you. Be doing Darkseid at all. If you were...
This next character I will do just for you. I will gear 12 Darth Vader.
And the point being what? Extra galactic power for deploys?
I don't know.
You know where you should gear 12?
Finn. General Veers.
Finn.
General Veers, got it. He's after Palpatine. He's my next one.
I mean, you're close, but if you change General and Veers to F and I-N-N, then you're golden. Yeah, then you're golden.
Oh, but they don't have him in the game, F12187. I can't get him.
That's because he hates the dark side and he realizes that it's useless.
I can't even get F12. I can't even get FN2199. Nine.
All right, screw this. We need Hondo. All right. So, all right. Yeah. Before we end the show, any last closing mentions, anything you want to say? Dave, we'll start with you since you're the guest. Anything else you want to finish on?
I'll add one last piece of territory battle advice is listen to your guild leaders. Because far too many people I'm hearing in various guilds are not listening to what they're saying. You know, territory battles needs is a group effort, is a guild effort, and there are people like yourself, Ednar, putting a ton of time and effort into trying to maximize the amount of stars each guild gets. So if you are in a guild and you don't maybe participate as much as you should, or maybe don't pay attention as much as you should, I would, you know, urge you to amp up that participation just a little bit and your listening skills just a little bit, and listen to the wonderful advice your guild leaders are giving, because it is important, and you're really helping out your guild if you can do that, because I know it's an issue. I've read plenty of posts on Reddit of people just complaining about their guild mates, so, you know, listen up and help out everybody.
Alright, Coleman, how about you?
You know, same thing as Dave, you know, listen to orders, follow orders, it makes your life so much, in this game, so much easier, because there's less decisions for you to make. Just trust in their decisions, go by it, but also, gear 12 Short Trooper.
No one likes Short Trooper.
He's great, what are you talking
gear
about?
Gear 12 Short Trooper.
You know what?
He's got the same protection bump that General Kenobi had.
You know
he's
what?
A good character.
That is phenomenal to have in territory battles when you can't use him.
I'm talking arena and other things, man. Come on.
What's this arena's crap? I mean, honestly, it's all about the territory battles.
Yeah. I think arena's that thing that CLS owns, so I wouldn't worry too much.
Not really to me. I kind of ripped through CLS's, but whatever. Like their paper now, actually.
So, I want to throw two special shout-outs. One to every, and this is something I've learned, every person who's in charge of organizing their territory battles for the guild. Literally every single one of them. You guys are amazing. You guys are doing freaking God's work. Like, it is, I didn't realize it until I started this week on how annoying it can be to try and organize a guild of 50 using limited access to communication. The other one I want to I want to throw a shout out to is, and I don't know if this is exactly the name, but from their Discord, I want to throw a shout out to Tigor, Dodgemaster, and Rimball. There is a spreadsheet out there that I will probably throw in the show notes that makes dealing with territory battles as a leader a billion times easier. It will literally pull your guild's like stats off of swgoh.gg and tell you where everyone needs to deploy, exactly how many people need to deploy into each territory to get your maximum star level. Like, it makes things so much better. And you three or four or however many people worked on this made everyone's life 10 times easier. Like, and I don't know if you two have dealt with this spreadsheet, but it's so in-depth. It's
I'm going to take a look at it.
Like, I'll send you the link, and you'll realize, look at it and be like, this is the greatest thing ever. Like, It will tell you exactly how many people you need to six-star each combat mission in each phase, and then what percentage of your 50 guildies need to go into each phase to maximize your star potential. So it's just, it's out of this world. And the people who put this spreadsheet together, I want to say a sincere thank you from everyone who runs territory battles in the entire game. So thank you for this.
I have one shout out real fast. Right. To anyone who has made it through this episode and stayed with us, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Because this one's going to be hard for you to sit through. It's going to hurt, especially if you like CLS so much.
Yes, CLS did not get a lot of love in our show today.
Yeah. Did not, no. But, you know, I try to give him love, so.
But it's one of those things where it had to happen sooner or later. You can't.
Yeah, someone had to do it.
Yeah, you can't always be so positive about the new characters. You need to at least say something semi-negative about it. So I guess that will do it for our sixth episode tonight. It was a nice long one for us. So thank you for joining us. As always, if you have any questions, email us at RebelForceAlliancePodcast.com. Or RebelForceAlliancePodcast@gmail.com, or you can reach us on our Twitter page at RFA Podcasts. As always, any iTunes reviews would be much appreciated, as always. And I'd like to thank Dave and Coleman. Thank you for coming on tonight and ranting with me about territory battles and Commander Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, if you ever want to rant about some Rebels again, just you know, I'll do it every day.
No, we do not rant about Rebels. We rant about useless General Veers.
Oh, you mean Commander Luke. Got it.
Okay. Got it. Dang it. And lastly, before we end it, I want to throw something out. It is fantasy football season. And we have not brought this up yet. And Coleman decided to name his team I'm Not Edinar. And I'm a little hurt by this.
Do you want me to change it for you?
No.
I can make it 10 times worse.
No.
I would just take it as flattery.
I'll take it as flattery. But anyone in his league, I will offer you a special prize, a.k.a. a special shout-out, if you beat him.
Hey, I already have one win, so.
Yeah, you have one win in 1 week. It was a fluke.
Okay. I think it's well played.
No.
There's many more weeks left of football. Many
I know Dave's in my league, so.
Oh, you guys are in the same league? Oh, yeah, no. Dave, please beat him.
I will do my best. My team had a rough week one, but hopefully it turns it around.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us tonight, and you guys have a wonderful week, and go ahead and kill those territory battles.